Sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.
On your radio, we're coming to you from Alex FM, from Teta FM, from Kofifi FM, from Izo Lemzanzi, from Zibonele FM, from Ikora FM, as well as Radio Kwezi. We're coming to you also from Radio KC, from Voice of the Cape, and Alfred Nzo FM. We're nationwide tonight, and we're bringing you conversations about G20, about B20. Dumelo, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Prof. Thobela Dumelang San Bonani, warm greetings. Good evening to all our listeners across Mzansi. What a beautiful pleasure it is to be back with you. And I think it's our first time hosting this program together.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Dumelo. Usually, you get the unhappy stand-in, unhappily standing
I'm so
in.
Thank you for always stepping in.
A pleasure.
And making sure that frank dialogue can happen across our country. By the way, tonight brought to us by Telkom.
That's right.
Because they are saying we don't want to leave anybody behind. Mm. We're connecting the communities. Because, well, I mean, really, what does G20 mean to somebody listening on Alex FM tonight?
Yeah,
does it mean anything at all? Do you think our communities actually care what on earth is going to happen in Nazareth on Friday, where leaders of the world are gathering, or today in Sandton, where the B20 is gathering business leaders of the world under B20. Do they care at all? Do they even know what on earth is this about?
That's the question. And if I would have this airspace busy, Kidula Alex, and I can hear literally what sounds like it's a fighter jets or whatever. Really, I can't sleep, and they're roaming in the evening in the airspace, and I better be included. But the real answer is that most of our community members are clueless. They're not as included. There weren't as many side events in our communities with our community leaders asking Mam Gogo, Mam Gugu, and Dade Dlamini if they were involved in these conversations on how to improve our communities. So you're right. We're here to dissect B20.
What do they think is going on? I mean, there's been so much discussion about, fixing potholes in Joburg, and people being angry to say, well, you know, these roads are being fixed just because of the G20.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that made people understand, or at least be conscious, something big is happening.
Yeah.
Although they may not understand fully what it is.
Or be included in the conversation. So however big it is, let's be included so that the communities can actually vent out to say, this is what we want, this is how we would like, you know, this conversation to go. These are our desired outcomes. So really fence out your conversation with those big, you know, in those big meeting rooms, and we are also included. So I'm hoping that this conversation is going
to
start.
But do you think there's even a slight understanding to say, okay, that's in South Africa is the president, or is a president of G20. You know, what would it mean for South Africa? I mean, even with you reading and being aware and so on, do you fully grasp what it means that South Africa is actually the president of B20?
I think it's quite an influential seat to be in, especially if you're hosting all these multinationals and these countries, these heads of state, business delegates from various countries. It's a big deal, but we want the ripple effect to our communities. There's no point in having high-level conversations that don't trickle down to the people that need the impact the most. So we're hoping for this discussion today with our guests, and also with conversations coming from the callers when they do ask these questions, will help us get to the bottom of this.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking a little later on to the Minister of Communications, who will join us a little later. But of course, we're also going to be talking to the CEO of Consumer and Small Business at Telkom. Of course, we're going to be talking to you as a listener across all those radio stations. You can give us a ring on 011-440-1396 if you want to engage in the conversation tonight. Do you understand what is G20? Do you care? We want you to tell us tonight, but I think we should go to our first guest tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go to our first guest. Of course, our minister in the Department of Communications.
No, before the minister, we've got to talk to Lunga first. Yes.
So I was just saying that he'll be joining us a bit later on to give us, obviously, a more government perspective. But first, let's speak to Telkom.
Yeah.
We have Lunga Soyi, the CEO, of course, at Telkom under consumer business, touching more on what's happening. And Lunga, thank you so much for your time. A very good evening to you.
Very good evening to you too, and thank you for having me.
so much for joining us. We want to understand, you know, the perspective of Telkom in making us, the ordinary South Africans, understand why the G20 and B20 is important for us to be connected to. It's not good enough for we hear, you know, news or murmurs of a big conversation happening with the world outside of all of us, all 60 plus millions of us being involved, obviously, at the Sandton Convention Center. But really, from Telkom's perspective, why is it important for us to connect to them?
I think it's very important for South Africans to actually stay closer to the developments within G20 and B20. As you'd know, that there's the G20, which is largely more like governments and political, and at the back of it is the B20 forum, which is made out of a couple of elements in terms of what the business in South Africa and also across the world is really pushing for. And what's important about it, there is a stream called digital inclusion, right, that really focuses on how do we actually get a whole lot more South Africans and Africans to participate in these economies that are becoming much more digital? So how do we achieve digital inclusion at the back of a public, private partnership that needs to happen to roll out key infrastructure across the country and also the continent as well, to ensure that people have access to broadband or access to the internet? Very important. And I think there's been many deliberations around how can this universal access could potentially be achieved, and how a public-private partnership potentially work, learning from Brazil, India, and also some other countries that have been able to either start the journey or have actually achieved a lot of milestones towards this.
My brother, what will Telkom gain from this gathering, particularly of the B20, in making sure that we can do what we always say about bridging this digital divide? Do you have you found that people don't appreciate that the role that Telkom can play?
Yeah, absolutely right. It's Telkom and also all the other operators, right? But I think what we've done at Telkom is to really lay out fiber across the country to actually create the infrastructure that actually enables us to be able to connect people. We've built the mobile network widely as well. And what we've been actually pushing for via the B20 is to say there are underserved areas where we've built, but it's still not nearly enough to ensure that you actually have the infrastructure in those areas. This is where now we need government and the private sector to actually collaborate in rolling out that infrastructure into those deep rural areas, so that people do not have to migrate into urban areas just to access opportunities. Because access to the internet could potentially change people's lives, right, in terms of how they dream and how they could potentially think about starting new businesses, learning new skills via online platforms, and actually just connecting with people across anywhere else. It is pretty important. And those that are actually educated, that are looking for further opportunities outside of where they are, accessing the internet becomes a basic need. So what we've really been pushing for is we've built the infrastructure, others have built the infrastructure, but there are gaps. So how do we actually close those gaps and make sure that there is access to internet and at a very affordable manner, right, to everyone in South Africa? And you'd have seen yesterday we've released our results and been growing a lot of what we call broadband customers, or customers that are having access to data, right, at an affordable price. So we've been growing that and making sure that we're going into deep rural areas, making our infrastructure available at a very affordable price, so that those people at least can have access to the internet. So there's a whole lot more that could be done, and I think via this B20 we can gain a lot more. And there's recommendations on the table that would be tabled to the G20 over the weekend, and hopefully if they are adopted, and we could see progress between government and the private sector.
Can you give us a sense of what one can call the state of digitization? I mean, what there's always a talk about bridging the digital divide. Would you say now, after 30 years of democracy, 32 years now, this almost, right, that we have bridged that digital divide? If you were to simplify it, what are we talking about? 90% of South Africans now have access to the internet, or almost everyone has.
It's actually higher up, right? Close to about 90% South Africans will have access to the internet. However, you actually still have a large number of people that are actually in rural areas and also in areas where people can't afford to have smartphones. So the infrastructure is there, but people don't have the means to actually buy smartphones. So the cheapest smartphone is close to about $1,000, right? And not a whole lot of people could actually afford to buy that. So you find that there is infrastructure, but the means to actually access the internet, which is a phone or a smartphone, right, or a laptop. But I mean, smartphones are actually quite easy, but they're not affordable, right, you know, for most people. So we've made major progress, but not nearly enough, right, not nearly enough to ensure that we can actually reach 100%, which it can, because some countries have, right. So we need to make sure that we can actually collaborate to really create what I call low-cost smartphones, right, or affordable smartphones to everyone, so that everyone can afford to have one and actually afford to even buy data and possibly have access to the internet. And that's when digitization really happens, right, when you have access to the internet, because then there's a whole lot of there's a different world out there that you can access, let's put it that way. So not nearly enough, JJ.
I want to come in, Lunga, and ask you about, you know, two different types of pockets that you also assist when we're talking about, for example, school learners. I know there's a Connected Schools program that you have there as Telkom. There's another one where you assist township-based entrepreneurs, the Telkom Business Connect. Just take us through, Lunga, some of those examples, especially when we talk of how the G20 B20 idea then becomes a South African solution.
I mean, there's a lot of solutions that have taken into various areas, that like including Telkom Learn as well, which is a learning platform actually for free to anyone in South Africa, including zero rating the actual website itself so that it doesn't really deplete your data if you're accessing it via the phone, right? So we've got that sold out across South Africa as well. And we also have a heritage brand called Yellow Pages that we've evolved over the years into YEP. And YEP has actually become a platform within which we could source tools for small businesses so that we can actually tailor-make these tools and actually help them to become much more efficient, right? As an example, a lot of small businesses have struggled in the past to actually just create their own websites and be able to market digitally via the marketplace that we've created for a really, really small fee. Right? They could actually get an access to creating their own store and have access to the million unique visitors that are actually visiting the sites. They actually have access to free listings as well, and we actually help them to build websites, but we also have tools that actually enable them to market themselves online on Facebook, on any other social media platform, right? So really, really cost-effective manner, because if they were to do it themselves, it would cost them a lot of money. We also have really brought in what we call business in a box, which is really a low-cost they call it package for startup businesses to be able to start a business. But over the years as well, we've actually also started funds where we supported what we call future makers. It's businesses that are starting out of nothing that potentially could become partners of ours, provide us with services. But so we give them access to the markets, you know, through Telkom, but also we connect them with other enterprises that might want to buy their own services as well. And I mean, a key example of it is we've recently franchised most of our own stores as well, and we've actually considered most of the dealers or franchises that were under the Future Makers program that we've developed over the years to actually take up stores and actually become franchises and continue operating those, right, under that. So there's just been many programs that we've rolled out in South Africa just to help small businesses, but also the people in need, to ensure that they can actually become key participants in this economy.
Wonderful. Lunga, before we let you go, what is the one recommendation from B20 to G20 that you would really want to see adopted by the heads of state meeting that's happening at the weekend?
For me, was key public-private partnership to roll out infrastructure into the underserviced areas. Very key. There's enough money in the economy within government and private sector to be able to do that.
Thank you very much for your time, Lunga, joining us all the way from the B20 out in Sandton. Thank you so much, Lunga, for also your support as Telkom to this program that brings these conversations to our communities. Have a good evening.
I think what we've also just heard, just to summarize what Lunga had said, JJ, when we think about how our schools and our township-based community schools need connectivity, they're not even letting the learners out of the conversation. You would think this is G20, B20, it's only for business owners or it's for government officials or the ordinary, you know, citizen, patriot. But even high scholars need to be sensitized to the importance of our, you know, our hosting of the G20, but also building township innovation hubs, supporting those small businesses with affordable digital tools, quite important in Telkom's strategy of rolling out that affordable broadband to our community.
Absolutely. I think there's going to have to be a lot more conversations, even beyond this weekend, beyond the G20, to say, okay, it has come, it has gone. Yes. What has it left? What legacy did it leave? What can we build on? And how can we take advantage of having been at the helm of this massive global organization to benefit our communities? And I think that's what we're going to be talking about next with the Minister of Communications. So after the break, we talk to Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, Minister Soli Malatsi. Stay tuned to Frank Dialogue, coming to your radio live from Alexander, right up to the Voice of the Cape. Stay tuned.
Frank Dialogue on your radio with Dr. JJ Tabane. Let's talk frankly.
Streams, of course, was issues of communication and digital technologies, and that's why we joined by the Minister of Communication and Digital Technologies, Minister Malatsi. Minister, thank you so much for joining us tonight in the presence of over 10 community radio stations across the country to just bring the G20 conversation closer to the people. Good evening to you, Minister.
Good evening, JJ, and to all the listeners across the different radio stations. It's an honor to be on the show.
Wonderful. I'm with Tumelo Mututwane, who's going to be joining me in this conversation with you. Minister, just tell us, you know, there's always an issue about how does this make any sense or of any relevance to ordinary South Africans listening tonight on, you know, Alex FM, on you know, Voice of the Cape. You know, ordinary people are listening in their community radio stations. What would you say to them that would, in a sense, make this G20 thing relevant to them?
Well, besides the fact that it is the first one that is taking place on the African continent, is that these are the world's most powerful countries that meets on an annual basis to talk about issues from the economy, from the environment, from international relations and peace that affect every country. And the impact of these decisions ultimately are going to be felt by community members and citizens, not only in South Africa, but in also the other countries that G20 members are. And even beyond that, just given the size of the countries, the influence of the countries, and the power dynamics within the G20.
Mm. Minister, this is Tumelo, and once again, a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for your time. I understand that your focus for the G20 is for a global commitment to digital equity, right? We're talking here at a local or global level, making sure that there's investment in skills, there's digital transformation in South Africa. Perhaps let's translate this to what that means to, say, a learner in Limpopo, an entrepreneur in Guguletu. What does digital equity mean? And how will that then impact them?
Greetings, Tumelo, and apologies earlier, I only greeted JJ. you are absolutely right. So our focus has been that when you look in terms of the number of people, not only in South Africa, but in the world, who remain not connected digitally, which means that without access in simple terms to the internet. In South Africa, we have an average of between 15 to 18 million South Africans who don't have access to that internet. The world over, there are 3 billion people who are not connected. So our focus, which is a continuation of what Brazil did in terms of putting the focus on the world's efforts towards meaningful connectivity. And by meaningful connectivity means that the idea that everyone, whether they are in Alex, whether they are in Radikali, where I come from in the village, or they are based in Soweto, everyone should have access to the internet that has the same quality regardless of geographic space. Because we live in a time and period wherein access to broadband connectivity is a basic ingredient of our lives. And if we are going to empower people at least with a chance to improve their lives, at least with a chance to connect to markets beyond their immediate community, particularly for the SMEs and entrepreneurs, the access to internet becomes an important access for their lives. So it is one thing that as South Africa have been driving so hard and putting the focus on that, because in order to do that, one, obviously we need to make sure that the telecommunications companies invest more infrastructure in those areas, but also to have a common or harmonized approach as governments to say, let us be accommodative to investments that will make sure that we get connectivity to as many people as possible. I mean, one of the stats that always catch my eyes is the realization that when you look at the use of internet, for instance, in South Africa, 50% of that is for social media and social entertainment purposes, right? Which showcases something fascinating, that we are not using the internet
productively more in terms of e-learning, where you can get more people, particularly learners and even others, to be empowering themselves for educational purposes through the internet, or encouraging more entrepreneurial activities towards that. But for that to happen, JJ and Dumelo, is you need people to be empowered with digital skills, because there is so much more available digitally rather than just browsing the news or being on these social media platforms, which still provide an important element of life, which is entertainment. But life doesn't thrive only on entertainment.
Absolutely, absolutely. What would you say is the legacy then that the G20 and B20 happening in our country would leave in as far as this digital stream is concerned? In other words, if there was not G20, what would be different? Or because it's here, what's going to be different after this weekend in as far as your stream is concerned, your particular job around communications and digital technologies?
Yeah, I think the biggest legacy will leave for us is a serious approach, both from government and also from the telecommunications companies, in terms of investing in the right places to get the 18 million people that I spoke about to be digitally connected. I think even if it means that we get a million more, it will be a positive step forward, because for as long as there are still people without access to the internet, for me it's an injustice on humanity, and it imposes on us to be more aggressive in how we can get more South Africans connected to the internet.
What do you want the heads of state to decide? I'm sure you've had meetings with other ministers of communications around the world over the months leading up to this weekend. What do you want these heads of state to decide that would leave an impact, that would say to South Africans, this was worth an exercise in terms of being the president of this whole AGAS body?
You mean holistically or relevant to the portfolio?
Both.
Okay. Look, for selfish reasons, JJ, I think my approach would be the emphasis that smart devices, these things that you and I and many other middle-class people can live with, should not be classified as luxury goods, because at the core of it, they are very basic instruments for communications. In different parts of the world, including in South Africa, they are classified as luxury goods, which means that they carry an additional tax. That tax should be wiped off these devices, including also the removal of VAT on smart devices, so that they can be affordable to more and more people, because with that affordability, you are going to have more users, more people being able to transact digitally, more people being able to take learning digitally, and that activity in the economy is always going to be positive for every country.
Okay, you're on Frank Dialogue on your radio with Minister of Communication and Digital Technologies tonight, as we focus on the G20, bringing these conversations closer to our communities. If you want to engage, 011-440-1396. Maybe we'll have a question for the minister who can engage while we have him. Tumelo?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, while we still have you, of course, Minister, in as much as a country and as minister yourself, you, in an ideal world, want, of course, an inclusive digital environment, digital equity, etc. But we can't shy away from also the responsibility in having, or shaping rather, a safe, trusted and secure digital environment for citizens, for businesses and government. How do we assure this, Minister, that even with the abundance of digital tools, technologies, that we still ensure that it's safe, that it's trusted and that it is secure for citizens, businesses and government?
Absolutely, and that's a very important important conversation, because all these platforms are as useful as they are safe, and if they are not safe, they become a risk to society, because there are naughty elements in society, nefarious forces all over the world that abuse people's limited knowledge of, you know, all the new technologies that exist. And in populations where you've got people with very limited digital skills, the risks are severe. I think the best way is to balance between having the right laws in place for protecting citizens' rights to privacy, for protecting citizens from fake news, from misinformation, and also the use of manipulative, generative AI. So simple things like imposing in regulations that things that are used through generative AI are watermarked, so that whoever interfaces with that has the instant awareness, because for a lot of people, it's often difficult to distinguish between what is real and what has been manipulated through all of these technologies. And to have safeguards in place, and some of these, because there's always going to be that tension between overregulation and self-regulation, but it also requires that from the platform's perspective, there are enough guardrails internally to minimize the risk of exposure towards the violation of people's rights, and or the risk that citizens have to interact.
All right, let's take some calls now. Caller, good evening, and to Frank Dialogue. Fine, how are you,
Mr. Tabani? You're talking to Rasta and Alex.
Okay, hello, Rax. What's on your mind tonight?
I tend to disagree with that minister, because there has been so many promises before. You remember, even during the World Cup soccer in South Africa, there was a promise that things will change after the World Cup. And then you remember there was a gathering of ANC where the youth, they have add their concern about this expiring of the data. And then Cyril Ramaphosa said he will go to talk to those companies, the network provider, that the data mustn't expire, like I do by the, those data. And then after some couple of
we lost that call. Minister, you got the essence there. A lot of skepticism about where here we are, big gathering and big promises, and then nothing happens. But, well, you know, he's talking specifically about the issue of data. Data, you know, there was a big discussion about bringing the cost of data down. Mm-hmm. How far are we with that? And also deal with this thing that he's talking about. Why should data expire?
Yeah, I mean, the conversation about why data expires is a very, even for me, it's a very complex question, because it's not just about, you know, the cost and whether you can use it for that day. I think, you know, even the telecommunications companies were hauled to Parliament several weeks ago, where they had to explain this, and it still didn't make proper sense to me, because in a fair regime, I think everyone wants to buy a service that they can use until that service ends. But data, because of the use of spectrum and how that is managed, it's not as simple as that. But there's a recognition, JJ, because it's undeniable that the cost of data is unaffordable for so many South Africans. Even in the aftermath of the Competition Commission's ruling in 2029, which led to a reduction of the data cost at that time, when you look just in terms of what households have in terms of their disposable incomes now, and the cost of 1 gig, and comparing that to the rest of the world, it's still unaffordable, right? And it's something that, even when we engage with these telecommunications companies, we keep emphasizing. It's also important because there are laws in our country, so a minister doesn't set the price of data, because once you start interfering to those, you will be reminded very robustly so by the independent regulator, in our case being ICASA, that looks at those issues of fair pricing of data and access to the internet. But the reality is, you have to balance that with what government can do. And what government is doing, there is a project called SA Connect, which has helped and is continuing to help with providing access to broadband connectivity at government buildings, at community facilities, including traditional authorities, so that you can we can continuously relieve the burden of the cost on citizens. We are not yet there in terms of what in terms of the relief that we could bring, but it's something that we can't deny that the cost is high, and we are making efforts to continuously make sure that we can reduce this. It's not something that I'll be populist and say by tomorrow it will be slashed by this, but all these endeavors are going to help to continuously reduce that cost going forward.
Still under the topic of costs, Minister, I remember back in 2022, at least during the time of the lockdown and the pandemic, there was zero rating when it came to educational platforms. And this helped quite a lot with students, with schools, with universities. Can we see a more permanent version of that, at least? Where's the conversation around zero rating on particularly important platforms?
Yes, so that is still ongoing, and part of the strategy around that is to also zero rate, like, you know, all government government websites, for instance, and government platforms, because that will play a massive role in reducing the cost to communicate for people who just want to access government services. I mean, it shouldn't be costing a poor student who is looking for bursary opportunities across different government departments, website, anything. And that's something that we are pushing. And it would be that by the end of this administration, we would have migrated a lot of the government services, if not all of them, towards zero rating. And just for your listeners, I think it's also important to enliven in terms of zero rating means that no charge being incurred by the user when they're exploring these different government services platform.
All right. We're going to take a break. After the break, we take one or two calls before we let the minister go. Just stay tuned to Frank Dialogue on your radio.
Frank Dialogue on your radio with Dr. JJ Tabane. Let's talk frankly.
Alfred Nzo FM, Radio KC. We are nationwide tonight. It's a national imbizo. We are bringing the conversation of G20 and B20 close to you. Minister, while we're waiting for some calls, you talked a lot about connectivity and the costs, and there's been a big discussion about whether or not the SABC itself, right, is accessible to people and it's funded properly. Can you just put us out of our misery on that one. There seems to be a lot of disagreement about what is now the SABC bill that's in front of Parliament about changing the way in the way SABC is being funded. Your view on that?
My view on it is that the truth of the matter is that it's not properly funded. There is a lot of expectation and responsibility imposed on the SABC, which was suitable for a particular time. But as you would know, JJ, as a broadcaster yourself, that the evolution that has happened in broadcasting, particularly with a lot of shift towards digital consumption of news, it means that that space has become highly competitive. And the SABC, because of the size of its public mandate, which is the commitments that it has to have certain number of educational programs, certain number of news in variety of languages, and also the obligations that it has to broadcast what are called events of national importance, some of which are unplanned, by the way, such as, you know, funerals for prominent individuals that get flighted. It means that the SABC has very little room to move in terms of accommodating programs that can maximize its chances to attract advertisers and generate revenue. And as a result, the competition for advertisers on its platform is so high with its competitors who do not have those obligations.
All right, Mr. Just hold that thought. Let me just take one more call. We lost that caller. But are you saying that there's... I want to understand what is the disagreement now and why that bill cannot go through.
So the weakness with that bill as it was that it was suggesting that a funding model must be developed 3 years after the adoption of the bill. The immediate problem that is, I'm here. Hello?
Hello?
Let's take the caller. Hello?
Oh. Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you? What's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to find out, since a lot of us are struggling with unemployment, how can technology and digital programs help to create real jobs for young people?
Minister, how can this whole conversation help in terms of jobs in the digital space?
Absolutely. I mean, technology is an enabler for opportunities, right? It gives people, particularly entrepreneurs and even job seekers, it reduces the cost of looking for these opportunities, because from the comfort of your home or, you know, wherever you are based, with the use of your device, you are able, of course, enabled by connectivity to access the wealth of opportunities that are in there. For entrepreneurs, it gives you a bridge towards bigger market. And that's why on e-commerce, for instance, we have seen so many mushrooming innovations that has unleashed a number of entrepreneurs in the digital space. Because the future of work has changed, JJ, because of technology. And it's going to require that we empower, as I said on the onset, residents and the nation with affordable access to the infrastructure and the tools, such as the affordability of the devices, because smart devices, 5G devices, are an enabler for access to this opportunity.
All right, Minister, technology. Sorry to interrupt you there, but there's another caller coming in. Caller, are you there? Good evening. Good evening, caller.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, ma'am? Your question, please.
Good evening, Dumelo. Good evening, Tata JJ. Good evening to you as well, Minister. My name is Sue from Timbisa, and I just want to find out from the minister what his plans are in terms of creating inclusivity around communications. And I ask this because we are heading to the local government elections next year, and we've seen previously that a lot of the campaigns
have been online because that is where most people are. But we also know we've got issues of data and access to the internet in the country. So that is my question to the minister.
So much. Minister?
Thank you. And that relates to the earlier input I was making, particularly about the expansion of this project called the SA Connect, which is about connecting community facilities like your community libraries, community halls, traditional authorities, which are central hubs for many a community so that people can access the internet from those areas. One thing that I also wanted to share was that through the advocacy and the engagement that we've been having with Treasury, for the first time, the government was able to remove what is called the ad valorem tax, which is the luxury tax that gets attached to smart devices on low-end devices of 2,500 as the first step. And what that resulted in was a 16% increase in the adoption of smart devices in that category. And we're going to be pushing for more for an increase mental removal of that so that we can get you at least smart devices of up to 5,000 without that algorithm checks to enable more and more people to afford them.
Okay. Minister, just wrap up that conversation about the SABC for me. Quickly there. What can we expect? What can we expect going forward in terms of resolving this issue of funding of the SABC?
Yeah, so what we have done as the department was appointed a company called BMIT, who are specialists in developing funding models. They will be presenting a report in early February in terms of the various options for government to consider in terms of which one would be the best way to fund the SABC. And given that it's going to be a financial addition with implications for how funds are awarded in the public service, will then engage with Treasury after that to then determine what is the best way to fund the SABC, because it is an institution that is critical and essential for our democracy, particularly for educating, entertaining, and informing the public. So we must do all we can to help give the foundation for its funding.
And you know, Minister, we can't have this conversation around data, ICT, digital inclusivity without also considering skills, digital skills that are required to understand artificial intelligence, everything that we're seeing as far as the elevation of technology in our country. Do we have the skills? And if not, are we on the right track in not only acquiring the right skills, but also making sure that everyone is equipped so that we are, of course, not just catching up with the rest of the world?
Look, I think we are on the right track, but there are things that ought to be done from a foundational phase, such as the educational curriculum that we are in. I think when you look at people who are far younger than the three of us, their digital literacy is advanced than us. So the encouragement, and it's a conversation that we are having with the Minister of Basic Education about even using the curriculum to start having aspects of basic digital literacy so that all these young people who may be interfacing with the digital world for the first time at school, that they are empowered. But At a broader level from government side, we are partnering with the private sector because obviously of the scale that they have and the resources to do digital skills training, particularly just basic skills training in many rural and township areas, so that everyone can at least have a foundation of basic skills that allows them to navigate all the opportunities that exist in the digital space, and to at least just keep up to where the rest of the world is.
It's Frank Dialogue on your radio, bringing the G20 conversations closer to your home. If you are in the Vaal, we are on Teta FM. If you are in KZN, you can catch us on Izwelem Zanzi. If you are in the Cape, Voice of the Cape, or Zibonele FM is your home. And of course, if you are in the Eastern Cape, Alfred Nzo FM. We're truly nationwide tonight and having this big in Daba. Minister, in terms of the digital, what used to be called digital migration, looks like a lot of controversy about switch off, switch on. What on earth is going on?
Please come again, JJ. I missed the first part.
The digital migration has been the bane of our existence and many of your predecessors before now. What is going on? Are we going to finally migrate? Have you made peace with the broadcasters to be on the same page about how we move from analog to digital? What's the latest?
Yeah, the latest with that is, you remember, I think it was in May, where government lost the court case to proceed with the switch off. And subsequent to that, what we have been doing from our side is the 400,000 people who, by the time the court case was launched in last year, December, that we had to provide set-top boxes for in order to transition them, we've been continuing with that. And as a result, I think where we are now is over 300,000. No, let me recall the stats correctly. I think over 280,000 of those households have since been provided with a set-top box and connected, which means that from the initial 400,000, there are 100 and, on average, 120 households that are left. But we still have to find an agreement with the broadcasters about the time of the switch off, because the concern that they've had is that there are far more people who are still reliant on analog technology for broadcasting services. The challenge is that in order to maintain the status quo, it means that government has to fund both analog and digital, and that is unsustainable for us. So we are trying to get to a space where we can find each other on the reality that our resources are shrinking and becoming fewer and fewer to afford both. But affordability alone cannot be the reason that we leave people behind, because, and one of your callers mentioned this about digital inclusion, the true power of digital inclusion lies in making sure that no one is left behind and every citizen, or at least the majority of the citizens, can enjoy the benefits of that digital inclusion.
Minister Solly Malatsi, we are grateful for your time. Thank you so much for making time to talk to our communities across the country tonight as we bring the G20 conversation. We're going to take one last call before we go. Good evening to you.
Evening, Prof. I have just one quick question before you close off. How is the government going to protect our personal data when everything is moving online?
Oh, yes. Minister, big issue there. Yeah. You know, how are you going to protect our data? We saw in this commission people being very scared when they are told to hand over their devices.
No. It's a very fair question. And I think, I mean, one of the things that in South Africa we should be proud of is the POPIA Act, which is the instrument that looks over the protection of personal information. I think there are conversations, conversations between the Department of Justice and us, particularly to also look at strengthening RICA, because there's a lot of fraud and a lot of scamming that happens with these SIM cards that are unaccounted for, that are in the market. And I think from a cybersecurity perspective, we are working very hard to make sure that the location of particularly critical data, which is people's personal information, government data, that remains within the boundaries of the country and that is protected from any risk and threat of unauthorized access or manipulation.
Absolutely. Minister Sole Malatsi, please let it not be the last time. Yep. We want to engage with you some more. Thank you so much for sharing of your perspectives tonight as we bring G20 closer to our people. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. And I'm really sorry I couldn't be in person, but I will promise you that I will make an opportunity to come in studio and have a proper conversation. That will deliver, JJ.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're going to hold you to that. Yeah. And the next time we're here and on in Alex and in other stations, we'll ask you to come with, because this is your constituency, after all, Minister.
And of course, knowing you, JJ, if the minister doesn't keep his promise, that'll be your opening line. When you open the next door, Minister Malatsi promised to be here, no, didn't make it. Yeah,
I trust him. All right, let's leave it there. Thank you, Minister Malatsi.
Thank you so much.
After the break, we round off the conversation on G20 and say goodbye.
Frank Dialogues on your radio with Dr. JJ Tabane. Let's talk frankly.
Tumi, what do you think? That was fantastic conversation, man. Indeed.
Fantastic one. And I think, you know what, the minister did inspire confidence just in terms of at least what he'll be tabling at the G20 summit, yeah. Right? Digital equity, making sure there's investment in ICT, in AI, so that we are on par with the world and the global community.
Absolutely.
And as far as digital transformation is concerned.
Absolutely. And digital infrastructure, because we take for granted, you say, okay, so many people are, you know, have internet or don't have internet or whatever.
Right.
What about the infrastructure to make sure, as he was saying, that we can extend the use of this digital technologies to things that are useful.
That's right.
So people are not just on TikTok the entire day, but kids can be learning. They could be watching documentaries otherwise they would not have access to, you know. And I think that that's really, for me, that's what came out of that conversation with him, to say 60% of people are on social media.
That's right.
Just kidding around instead of learning stuff, you know.
And not all is all play. But also, I mean, I have to say to our callers asking those very important questions around our data. Are we protected? Our information, cybersecurity, data costs.
That's
because it's all
thing.
Good and well to talk about data, but the costs for the ordinary South African in our rural areas where there's still a digital divide, it's really brutal.
Absolutely. And that's why we're here. We're streaming on YouTube, but we are also on 10 community radio stations where people actually don't have to pay data costs to listen to us tonight. And we were hoping that as we launch Frank Dialogue podcast in the future, we're going to be connecting 45 to me radio stations across the country, so that as we dialogue here, we're having a real national imbizo for our children, our parents, our communities to connect and talk, so that nobody is left behind.
Yeah, if you ask me, that deserves a zero-rated platform commitment, you know, as well from the department. I mean, we're talking about dialogue that is frank and that is for the community, and no one should be left behind out of the conversation because they can't afford data. It definitely needs to be a zero-rated platform.
Absolutely. And a big thank you to Telkom for bringing these conversations here, so that we leave nobody behind. We'll be back on Friday evening on the sidelines of the G20, when the heads of state will be here to me, and then we'll hopefully be talking to the Minister of International Relations and other related leaders. Who knows, maybe we can get one or two bigger leaders from another country to talk to us about why are they here, what is going to matter to the ordinary South Africans.
They'll also need the ordinary South Africans to join in that conversation. So we encourage you to plan with your airtime on Friday. Friday, we're not calling anybody but Frank Dialogue.
Absolutely.
Because we need those callers and we need those questions. So please join in the conversation. We'll see you Friday.
We leave it there. But until we talk frankly again, may God bless you.
This is Casey 107.7.